Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. We are honored to serve you. Lord, here we are. We just present ourselves to you as living sacrifices. Lead us in the way we should go. Holy Spirit, take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us today. Sow your word into our hearts with understanding. Seal it there. Transform our minds, our thinking. Bring us into alignment with what you are doing, with your purposes today. Activate us, Lord. Set us ablaze with holy passion for your purposes on the earth, that we might live to honor you, Father, in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We've been on a series called The Way Up. Now, I know what the way down looks like. So, I'm about, how many are going up now? It's like, I've had enough of the down, I'm going up now. And the way up is not often the way the world envisions that. The way up in the world is to claw and scratch and manipulate and whatever you got to do to get ahead of the next guy and to get the top of the rung, you know, the top of the ladder. But that's not the way it works in God's eternal kingdom. And this thing that we're about is eternal. So we are not living for this temporary world. We're living for eternity. So it's very important that we understand how we can be advanced in the kingdom, how we can go up in the kingdom. How many know that when you die, who you are is who you're going to be? It's time now for preparation. Today is the day that we are to be prepared for eternity. We are in the dressing room of eternity. God has given us His word so we may have an understanding of how we may flourish, how we may bear fruit, how we might enjoy life and have it to abundance. And often when people talk about abundant life, they're thinking about more money. But God's ways are not our ways. True abundance is to be filled with Jesus. Amen. He is our eternal reward. He is our great treasure and our great reward. He's our exceeding joy. So the most important thing, folks, is that we know Him. Just not learn about Him, but that we know Him. And that the Word of God will abide forever. Jesus said, "Those who do the will of my Father abide forever." How many are doing the will of the Father? What does that look like? You may ask, what is the will of God for my life? Well, it's right in here. God gave us His Word so we can know Him. And when you know Him, you know His heart, He will reveal Himself to you and He will reveal your purpose. The reason why we're in a mess so often is because we don't really understand our purpose. And so we go about trying to discover it on our own, independent of a relationship with the one who created us. And in some cases, we don't even want to acknowledge Him. We don't even want to ask Him. Because we think we have a better idea sometimes. I know none of you ever thought that before, but there's been times we've questioned God. We haven't agreed with God. We thought, God, it doesn't seem to make sense or it doesn't fit my lifestyle, so I'm just going to pick and choose what I want to obey here. And in the areas where we're rebelling, in the areas where we're not aligning ourselves and listening to His voice, are the areas of darkness in our lives where the enemy can camp and mess us up. We're giving him permission by refusing the counsel of the Lord. The word of the Lord is good. It is a light. It exposes darkness. And the enemy cannot abide in light, because he can only live in darkness. So we need to receive what God has to say. The first step in going up is humility. Humility is not being a doormat for someone to walk on. Some people, there's a false humility that people carry about, you know, thinking that I'm just supposed to be some kind of wimpy Casper milquetoast that people walk on and, you know, in disregard, and because I'm just a humble servant. That's not true humility. That's false humility. True humility is strength under control. A horse is a great strong beast, and it can be very useful if it's been broken, if it's been brought under control. But if it's released, and has anybody ever tried to break a horse or to ride a horse that has not been broken? Some of you have. You know what? I had enough sense not to do that. Oh, I'm kidding. But somebody has to do that. And so it is. The Lord is getting us into a place where we're going to be user friendly. How many want to be used of the Lord? Amen. It's not going to come because we decided to exalt ourselves. Because we thought we wanted that thing, and so we promote ourselves, or we manipulate our way to get to a place because we think if I get there, it's going to be great. I'm going to be happy. If God doesn't exalt you, if God doesn't put you in that place, now you're going to have to live in defensive mode. You're going to have to live to protect your territory, and you're going to become a control freak. You're going to become very controlling. You know, sometimes when you're with people and they're very controlling, it's usually a sign of insecurity. It's a sign that they're in fear. They're operating in fear. And because of the fear, they feel that they have to control everything and everybody around them so that nobody's going to take away their position. But if God exalts you because you have taken the path of humility, that means you have taken upon yourself the mind that was in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, made himself of no reputation. How many of us are willing to take upon the form of a servant as Jesus and to make ourselves of no reputation? What if nobody even sees you and notices you, but you've been obedient to God? You've taken little steps of the next thing is faithfulness. Being faithful in little. Being faithful in what you have in your hand right now that God has given you to do. What is your assignment for today? Steps of obedience. Steps of faithfulness. Now humility, another picture of humility is agreeing with truth. Agreeing with the truth. Understanding what is true about yourself. Knowing who you are. Romans 12:3, Paul said, I say through the grace given to me, he acknowledged that it was by God's grace that he was who he was as an apostle, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Each one of us have received a measure of faith, not all of it, but a measure, so that we would work as a team, as a body. And so he's trying to say here that we need to have a sober assessment of who we are, where we belong. What is my place in this world? Where is my assignment? You see, arrogance is living above what we're called to be. Or thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And then at the same time, some people don't think high enough about themselves and they live below their God-given potential. And so it's about you and I being willing to lay our agenda aside and say, I've got a lot of ideas, I've got a lot of plans, but God, I'm going to give it all to you and I'm going to let you decide now. You're the master. What you want me to do. And God may ask you to do something that may not be very comfortable, that may not be very visible. But are we willing to do whatever he tells us to do? See, the way up is through submission to him, through humility, amen, and faithful steps of obedience each day as the Lord gives you enough light to take that step. Take the step. If you play it safe, you're never going to accomplish anything. In the sense that if you think that walking with the Lord is going to be predictable, that's not the way it works. Faith is stepping out beyond your comfort bubble. Faith is doing something that naturally is impossible for you to do. We are to be supernatural people. And we are supernatural when we are walking with him who is supernatural. When we are yoked together with Jesus, amen, and we are walking with and working with, not working for, but working with Jesus. Why? Because we're also heirs. We're also family. We're His children. And so as children, we have been given access to our Father's house. Amen? To come into His presence. And so we got to ask ourselves, am I dependable? Am I loyal? Am I stable? Because that's what faithfulness means. It means dependability, loyalty, and stability. And why do we need to be faithful? Well, because God is faithful. And we are to be like Him. We are to walk just like Jesus walked. Jesus said that His disciples would be like Him. We would do the works that He did. And Jesus spoke about faithfulness in Matthew 25, 29, in the New Living Translation. It says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Do you think it's important? Do you think God expects us to take what He's given us and invest it? To sow our gifts, our ability, our spiritual giftings into the kingdom, amen? Into the harvest? Absolutely. Because He says, if you don't use what you have, you're going to lose it. But to those who are using what they have, more will be given to them. So do you want to go up in the kingdom? Do you want more? Well, with more means greater responsibility and a greater accountability because of that. And sometimes we think we want something that if we really knew what was entailed, we probably wouldn't. Wouldn't it be neat if I could be like Benny Hinn or like this person or Oral Roberts? Or, I mean, do we realize, and I really don't care what your opinion is of these men, by the way, but I'm using as an example. Sometimes we want to be somebody else, or we want to have what they have, but are we willing to pay the price that they had to pay? See, what people don't realize is that many of these men, whether you agree with them or not, they are paying a very high price to be where they are. And many of them have started out, if you will, sucking carpet, seeking God's face, pressing into Him. And being obedient, little steps of obedience. And God has exalted them. Not everybody's going to be exalted in the same way. It doesn't all look like pulpit ministry. In some ways, God wants you to be exalted to a place where you're going to be effective in your workplace. Where you're going to be more effective on the street. In the marketplace. How many know that we need people out there on the sidewalk? Amen? It can't all revolve around the church box. We are here to be equipped so that we can be sent. Who will go? Jesus said in John 12 and 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So God wants you and I, not just the preacher, not just the Sunday school teacher. God wants you and I to be busy for Him. We're really good at being busy. But are we busy for Him? If you have been saved, you are to be busy for Him now. You have come under new management, new ownership. We are to be busy for our new master now. Hallelujah. I spent enough time in the world, living for the world. It's time now to come out and be separate, says the Lord, and then I'll receive you. You'll be my sons, you'll be my daughters. I will exalt you in my kingdom for eternity. If you give now and you sow your life now, you'll reap eternally. We're living for eternity. So we need to be busy. Jesus was busy for the Father. He says, know you not, I'm supposed to be about my Father's business. When they came looking for Him, you know why America's where it's at today? It's because of a backslidden church. It's because people are not busy for Jesus. We're busy living for the world. The church has been busy. It's been in bed with the world. With a system that's in rebellion to God. Thank God you're not that way. I thank God for this remnant church here. These people that are here. that know their God, they love their God, and they're here because they want to serve God. They want to honor the Father. They want to bear fruit. They want to be an effective witness for Jesus in the earth. I believe that of you. Because, you know, people that don't think that way don't stay here very long. Isn't it true? Because that's what we're all about. We're all about the mission of God. What happens is, when we lose our focus and we get off our vision, off our mission, then we're like a dog that sits in a kennel and swats fleas. We're all preoccupied with what the Joneses are doing and all the drama and all the gossip and all the junk, because we've lost sight of what we're supposed to be doing. Isn't that true? We become church players. But we're a movement. We're moving with the Holy Spirit. We're moving with God. So the way up in the kingdom is, number one, humility. It's by humbling yourself. Secondly, through faithful steps of obedience. And then thirdly, through honor. And I just want to touch on this today. The way up in the kingdom is the way of honor. How many know that it's very, very important that we learn how to honor one another? In Romans 12 and 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." How many of us delight in honoring others? We like to be honored and we like to receive honor, but do we delight in honoring others? Do we celebrate someone else's victory? Do we celebrate someone else's gifting? Or are we just jealous of what they have? And behind their back, we just cut them down a few notches. No, we honor one another. Why? Because we're family. We belong to each other. And it's self-destructive for us to lash out at one another, to tear each other down. When we walk in honor, when we practice honor, folks, people will know that you have their best interests in mind, that you really care about them. I remember when I first met Chuck, it was about 20 years ago. They were going to a ministry up in Federal Way. And there's a young man there that was on fire for God. And I remember Chuck saying this, because Chuck was the kind of guy that would call me about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, "Hey, man, praise God, praise God." He was all excited. You know, he was just, and I was like, "Man, do you know what time it is?" You know. And he would just had some kind of encounter or something happened. He got the witness or, you know, but he would be all excited. But Paul was a great guy, and Paul knew how to really motivate people. And he asked him, "Paul, what's the secret to being an effective leader?" And he said this. He said, "Get excited about other people. Get excited about others." How many get excited about others? How many are more concerned that your brother's taken care of than you're taking care of yourself? How many esteem your brother above yourself? Should we do that? Should we esteem others better than ourselves? Well, let's look at this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done with selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Philippians 2 and verse 3 and 4 in the New Living Translation, "Don't be selfish," it says. Listen, don't try to impress others. Has anybody ever done that before? We've all been show-offs. We've all tried to impress people. He says, don't be selfish, because that's really a selfish motivation when we're trying to impress people. "Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." It's okay to look out for your interests, but be about others. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't come to serve himself? We'd all be toast if he came with that mentality. He didn't come to serve himself. He came to serve the Father. And how did he serve the Father? By serving us. By serving you. By being an example. The way up is by serving. For the joy set before him. He went all the way to the cross. He endured the cross. And God hath highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. Jesus. Hallelujah. We've got to understand, folks. We've got to recognize the importance and the value of each member in the body of Christ. How many take care of your own body? How many like to, you know, take baths and make sure your fingernails are trimmed and your nose hairs are cut and all that? And, you know, it's probably a good idea, right? Now, not everybody cares about those things, but I would suggest that you do. Well, we take care of our physical body. And if we injure our hand or something, we got to take care of it. What happens? The rest of the body ministers to that part that's injured, right? Why? Because it's every part of you is important. I mentioned before, if you stub your toe, it feels like your whole body hurts. Well, your toe is an important member. So it is that everyone that is assigned to God's kingdom, amen, that is in the kingdom of God, everyone that is a member of the body of Christ is important, that and they have value, and they are valuable to you, and you are valuable to them. So when you minister to others, when you get excited about others, folks, it's a family thing. Do you know that the church is not some place where we're supposed to get together and all think alike? Has that ever happened? It's not a social club. It's a body. It's a family. We're the family of God. And so as a family, you're going to have all kinds of different personalities. All different kind of giftings and likes and dislikes. But together, we make a complete package. And so we have to understand the value of each other and to be willing to celebrate someone else and to get excited about them and want to see them flourish. Because as you flourish, I flourish. As you are blessed, so am I blessed. When you minister to people, you're blessed as you minister to others. Huh? It's funny how that works. Jesus is saying that to those who did nothing with the things that they received, well, that's going to be the reward. And to those who were faithful in the things that were entrusted to them, they're going to have more. He's going to take even from those who did nothing. He says, okay, then you have it, because I know you're going to be faithful with it. But we need to honor each other. We're not to be so concerned about our own value, but the value of others. And I've said this before, but we need to be focused on building people and not building our own empires. Isn't that what we're about? We're about building people. How many know that a church that honors others will easily attract others? You ever been into a church where you came in and you just felt like nobody cared whether you were there or not? And you got excited about something that God did in your life and you wanted to share it, and they're all kind of like, here we go again. But when we come in, we've got something to share. Someone's got a word. Someone's got a testimony. Someone's got a psalm. You know, we can come together and we can share in the life of Jesus together and celebrate. Yes, the diversity, that word diversity. The world stole it, but it's a good word, you know. The diversity of the body of Christ. Working together as a team. Honoring one another, preferring one another. Being willing to associate with people of humble estate. Amen? Not thinking so highly of ourselves. Understanding that it is only by the mercy of God that we've been saved in the first place. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 and 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God is a God of order, and He is assembling an end-time army. This army is going to accomplish His purposes on the earth. And the thing about this, folks, is that as an army, we have to be careful that we are in our place of assignment, that we are functioning according to the measure of grace that God has given us, functioning in our gifting, amen, not trying to be somebody we're not, and not exalting one above the other, because that's when division comes in. Some are of Paul, some are of Apollos, some are of Cephas. We follow after personalities and charismatic individuals, and so easily people are like sheep. We're just like sheep. We're so easily led astray following after personalities sometimes and not ever coming to realize that, hey, I am valuable too. I am part of this thing. I need to find out who I am and how I can work together with everybody. Amen? And not to be a groupie. I'm with the band. Oh, your family. You don't have to act like that. You don't have to be like that. Come on in. Everyone has value. Everyone should be honored. Jesus shed his blood for everyone. That's how important you and I were. And who would have known? We heard that testimony about the man who was in Beverly Hills on the top of the pile who ended up on the bottom. And when people would probably drive by him, say, oh, that scumbag, has he had a bath in a while? And never realize who that man used to be. So whether you're up and out or down and out, without Christ, you're out. And the only way in is through humility. It's through coming under the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Save me. Have mercy on my soul, God. And teach me how to be a disciple, a learner. Teach me how to walk with you day by day in humility, and ask the Holy Spirit often to keep you humble. Do it. Believe you're doing yourself a favor. And to take steps of obedience, of faithfulness, being dependable, being loyal, being true to your word, being integrous, and learning how to honor others. Not slandering others, not backbiting, but honoring others. And again, folks, this is why often people will become very vindictive and on the attack, is if they feel like they are threatened by someone. Fear will cause people to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, I'm going to get them before they get to me. How many know there's been many people who have been vindictive about something that didn't even exist? It was all imaginary. The enemy got into their head and told them all kinds of lies about somebody, and they thought this person was out to get them, so they decided, I'm going to go out and get them first. And they took vengeance into their own hands. And so they went out and they spoke evil. When we honor one another, then there's safety in that. You know this person has my back. This person would not deliberately do anything to destroy me. When we honor each other, folks, it produces a harmony of hearts, a place of safety. This church really has a wonderful core of people who have honor among ourselves. And because of that, we're learning, you know, how to be able to let the walls down so that we can truly minister to each other. And understand it's okay to have a problem. It's okay to maybe be missing the mark in some place in your life. Why? Because we're all a work in progress. Everyone is a work in progress still. Your work is done when He takes you home. And so while we're here, we've got to learn how to honor others so that they can be disarmed and they can let the wall down and we can have true fellowship in the Spirit. Isn't that what God did for us? Did not God first honor us? We didn't deserve His honor, but God honored us. What does that mean? God says, I'm going to reach down into the pit and I'm going to pull you out of that mess. And I'm going to bring you up to me so you can be with me. Did He not honor us? We cannot give God honor unless we first have received honor. We cannot give God glory except that we first receive glory. Are you with me? You cannot give God something that you don't have. And so even as the Father has honored us, so we are to do the same to one another. You see, the way up is to honor others. It's to be willing to have the smaller piece of cake. It's to be willing to take the end of the line so that someone else can go first. To be more excited about somebody else's blessing, somebody else's breakthrough than yourself. Because when we get selfish, then we start boasting about ourselves. And we start wanting everybody to recognize us. And then we begin to separate ourselves. And somehow people get this mindset that they are an elite segment of the body of Christ. An elitist arrogance. It even exists in the clergy. Probably more so in some cases. Where there's an arrogance often. I've got this ministry. We run this many. How many are you running? I've got all these degrees. None of us would have any hope if it wasn't for the mercy of God. That's why the word of your testimony is so important. That you rehearse your own testimony. Rehearse the things that God has done for you in your life. Think back to where God brought you. Amen? Remind yourself of where you were and what God has done, lest you become arrogant and conceited and think that you did it all yourself. And when you speak the word of your testimony, you're also helping others, amen, to come into the same place of freedom. We need to remind ourselves of that. Why do you think God told Israel to remember, amen, the Passover? Lest they forget. When we begin to forget, we become unthankful. And then unthankfulness often will lead to sin and arrogance. And so the way up in the kingdom is humility, faithfulness, faithful in your home, faithful with your family, amen, faithful at your job, faithful to those in authority over you, faithful to God ultimately. And then to walk in honor. Honor God by honoring others. When you honor others, you're honoring Him. You're honoring those who were made in His likeness. When you love people, you're loving Him who you don't see. When I was putting this together, this thing just started to come to me. And I tell you what, I just felt just the holy goosebumps all over my body. I don't know how else to say it. But I know it's like a witness of the Spirit. It's like, oh yeah, felt the Holy Ghost. So thank you, Jesus. But this is, it's about this end time army thing. That if we will find, discover our place in God's army, and we will understand that my comrade is important to me and I'm important to him, that we are in this together for the purposes of our commander in chief. We are to advance the gospel, amen, advance the kingdom of God in the earth. This end time army is going to be a people who are united in purpose, who have set their agenda aside and have come to a realization that I'm in something much bigger than just me. And I get to be a part. I get to be with Jesus. I get to be with Jesus. You get to be with Jesus. In this. And this army will destroy the works of the devil. We are going to go forth proclaiming God's kingdom, declaring His word, and revealing His glory to a lost and dying world. How many are going to go and do that? I almost entitled this A Few Good Men and Women. Because God is looking for a few good men and women. Are you hearing me? He's not going to choose the masses of Christendom to do what He's going to do. I want you to hear that. People think that they're just going to be a shoe-in. I'm with the band. I hang out with them. I associate myself with them. They think I'm with them. No, you got to be with Jesus. You got to be with Jesus. If you're not with Jesus, you're not going to be with what He's doing. Even if you hang out with people, it's only a matter of time you're going to fall off. Because you can only ride so long in somebody else's shirt tail. You can only abide so long in somebody else's anointing. You better know how to get a hold of God yourself. Because God is weaning things right now. God is separating things right now. God is raising up a Gideon's army. He's going to do extraordinary things through a few people. But these few people are going to be the ones that He has conditioned, that He has prepared, that He has equipped, and that He has raised up, and He has given them authority in His name, and they're going to work together in unity. The rest of that's going to go by the wayside because God is going to do a quick work, and He's going to cut it short in righteousness. God is moving in the earth today, and I don't want to miss it. Do you want to go too? We got to say, Jesus, whatever it takes, get me ready and get me into position. Put me in my assignment. I'm ready to be the private on the front line if you want. I'm ready. I'm willing to be the doorkeeper if you want me. Because we're all part of this thing that You are doing, and I'm going to be rewarded based upon my faithfulness to what I was supposed to do, not because I became or tried to be somebody else I wasn't. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's what's happening. Will you go? Wow. Thank You, Jesus. I'm just glad, extremely glad, that I get to be a part of what He's doing.